Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Cornell, and I'm joined, as always, by my intangible co-host and future Royal Jamble winner, it's Tempest.
Hell yeah, I'm joined by future two-time Jam That Champion, Pete.
Two-time Jam That Champion.
No, I can't just wait. Two-time.
Okay. Two-time Jam That Champion. Yeah, that's me.
Don't get carried away now.
I mean, going by WWE's rules, what I should really do is win it and then lose it again and then win it and then lose it again and then win it and then lose it again. And then I'd be like a five-time champion. And that's more important than holding it for a long time, apparently.
Right. Yeah. Did you ever see this clip from it was an episode of TNA from, I don't know, 2008, maybe 2009, sometime during the dark ages, you know? There's a backstage clip, and I don't know how my memory brain isolated this exact moment, but I remember it very well. Maybe this came to me again because Bubba Ray Dudley is a knob, but
sure.
He's backstage. It's like him and D-Von, and they're talking to Rhino or somebody. They're talking to someone, it doesn't matter. The person that they're talking to just lost a match, and they're trying to be like, hey, man. You could, it's okay, get back on the horse. It's okay to lose. Everybody loses. And at some point, he's just like, you know how many times we've been tag team champions? 18 times. That means we lost it 17 times. And I was like, wait, what? And then he's like, you know how many times Ric Flair was world champion? 16 times. You know what? That means he lost it 15 times. I was like, are you an idiot? And I eventually at some point last year, I was listening to a bunch of old Brian and Vinny shows off of, F4W, just from when they would review TNA and eviscerate it. And somehow, the first one that I click on is that show. That show from December 08, where they're just like, what is Bully Ray on that he thinks that's how this works? So clearly he's been out to lunch for a long time. But maybe if you use that logic, you can be a 10-time Jam That Champion and only lose it 9 times. That's somehow where the real money is.
Yeah, somehow that would work. I mean, it would work if I was still the champion, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah, but then that's if I lost it again, did. Then... anyway, I've got a couple of emails, Tempest, which we'll get into in the outro section of this podcast. But for now, let's get into talking about NXT, where we saw the returns of both Pete Dunne and Tommaso Ciampa, which a lot of people thought they were going to get called up to the main roster, but I guess maybe not now. Let's talk about it. So So Tommaso Ciampa and Pete Dunne, who we thought were like gone from NXT because Pete Dunne was supposedly like, you know, like dead. They had like a little funeral service for him and everything, and Ciampa lost the NXT championship. We all thought that they were going to go to the main roster. It's also the Rumble this weekend. Perfect time to bring him to the main roster. But they just kind of showed up on NXT again this week. So maybe they're not going to the main roster. We'll talk about it today. Welcome to the Rust Talk Podcast review of NXT 2.0. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell. I'm joined by my intangible co-host, as always, Tempest. He'll be winning the Royal Jamble this weekend, obviously.
Liar. Not about that. That's all true. That's all true. But liar. Liar who lies. You lied to me, Pete.
What are you talking about?
It was weeks ago, but everyone's seen the video now. Blood on the clock tower. You lied to me.
You
betrayed the trust of LIW, and I don't know if we will ever recover.
I bent the truth slightly.
You lied. You said, I am a noble. You came to me, mm-hmm. and you said lies. But you know what? Lies make baby Jesus cry.
I may have told you that I was, in fact, a noble, but maybe I was talking about my real life. Maybe I have royal heritage, you know? That would make me a noble, you know?
Liar.
You don't know that. That's what I'm saying.
Were you reading about someone, the names that you forgot and cost you the game?
Don't put Spoilers. That on me. Don't Spoilers. Say that it cost me the game. Please don't let Liar. It be true. It kind of did, though, didn't it?
I'll never forget.
I know it's Ollie, Laurie, and Dom now, though. I've got that up here now from that incident. It's fine, Tempest. What would you do if you were on the evil team? Would you just tell the truth?
I wouldn't be on the evil team. I'd be on the good team, and I'd win.
I wanted to be on the good team. I just wasn't, you know?
You'll never be now.
I know.
Because you're a liar who lies.
But it's fine. I'm going to make it up to you because after you win the Royal Jamble, I will happily defend my new Jam That Championship that I will win on Saturday. I'll happily defend that against you at WrestleJamia, and it's going to be great. Friendly competition.
It will be great. It will be great. You won't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about this episode of NXT, shall we? This nice. Episode is sponsored, by the way, by Wine52. Hot damn. You know, like beer 52, but like wine instead. Whoa, we'll talk about it more later. But you should go check it out. There should be a link in the description or something. Go click that because you can get a crate of 3 bottles of wine. That's nuts. Also send in your Ultra Chats to wrestletalk.com/support. Because we'll go through all your Ultra Chats, all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. Did I just close my notes? Yes, I did. I didn't mean to do that. I was thrown, Tempest, by the accusations of lying. That's
Are
what
you
it was.
Lying to me right now.
Thrown me off. I'm not lying to you. Tommaso Ciampa and Pete Dunne, who we thought had kind of sort of left NXT, maybe thinking they were going to get called up to the main roster. They showed up again on this episode. There was a match between Tony D'Angelo and Cameron Grimes to determine the number one contender to the North American Championship. Pete Dunne showed up in that match with a cricket bat to kind of return the receipt on Tony D'Angelo. Hit him in the hand with that, which cost him the match. Cameron Grimes wins. As Pete Dunne just kind of has come back and continued his feud with Tony D'Angelo. And at the end, they were building up through the whole show that Bron Breakker's got no friends. And he's going to be facing Legado del Fantasma, and there's lots of them, and he has no friends. He needs to find a tag partner, but Bron Breakker's got no friends. Does he have any friends? No, he doesn't have any friends. So, just saying that he's got no friends, and there's also a lot of them in Legado del Fantasma. Does he have any friends? No, he doesn't have friends. He should probably find a friend. They're really hammered at home on this episode. And then at the end, wouldn't you know it, he has a friend. It's Tommaso Ciampa, who came back and kind of stood alongside him, staring off against Legado del Fantasma. So both of them are back, and we thought they might have been gone, and they're kind of back doing exactly what they did before they left. So, well, with the exception of Ciampa now being Bron's friend rather than enemy, I suppose. But what do you make of all this, Tempest? What do you think of these guys being back in NXT?
I wasn't as surprised by seeing Tommaso Ciampa in NXT again, because I mean, he's Mr. NXT, even if it was the black and gold. So him staying doesn't surprise me nearly as much. I thought that we'd seen the last of old Pete Dunne. I figured, I mean, he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to win the NXT championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just doesn't. I would not assume that he is in their immediate plans to be the top champion of this brand. So with that in mind, perhaps we can move him on to doing other things. But no, he's just back, and he's continuing this little feud with old Tony D'Angelo. Forget about it. I don't know. Wait.
Did you say that magic phrase?
Forget about it, cuz.
I said forget about it, cuz.
Thank you. Never gets old.
Continue. It's like the slime phrase. It gets me. Forget about it.
Perfect.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what the deal is with NXT, because half the time we see people get called up, and then the other half of the time we've got Io Shirai that's been down here forever and is just spinning her tires, you know. And it feels like, I cannot stress enough that NXT was at its best when people were only on this show for like a maximum of 2 years. You know, that has like been pushed way down the list of things that are wrong with NXT. And I did like this episode of NXT for what it's worth. So this is not just going to be me complaining for an hour. At one point, I had 3 problems with NXT. It was like, fix the matches, fix the storylines, and call up people more regularly. Now, those are way down there. The storylines are still pretty high. But the calling people up is still fairly low, you know. It makes the show so much more fresh when you don't get tired of people. And that was what made NXT great for so long. Because you only had like 2 years of Finn Balor. Not even. You didn't have 2 years of Finn Balor in NXT. Think about that. Longest reigning NXT champion. Did all this cool stuff. Main evented takeovers. That legendary run that we remember. Less than 2 years. Craziness. Less than 2 years. Yeah, Bobby Roode was like a 2-year run. Shinsuke Nakamura was only a 1-year run. You know, this is what you got. Malachi Black, whatever. Blackie Boy was only 2 years. Ricochet was like 2 years. No, Ricochet was only 1 year. So it's just like, again, you got rushed through a bunch of these things. And yeah, not every guy is going to be NXT champion because of it, but it meant that the show stayed fresh. And now it feels like we're watching a show with a set roster again. And every once in a while, someone might move shows the same way that every once in a while, someone might move from Raw to SmackDown or SmackDown to Raw. You know, it's not necessarily a call up and it's not monumental. It's just like, okay, well, that person's over there now. So it's, I don't know. I've lost that kind of feeling of like, oh, well, they're definitely getting called up next. Cause like, I don't know when it's going to happen. And it doesn't feel as important as it once did either. So, I don't know. I like both wrestlers. It means the show that I get to watch is better. So, I'm not going to complain about it too much. I just think that the show could be a little more engaging.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think this necessarily completely rules out a call-up anyway. Because
they could both be in the Rumble. You know,
yeah, totally. They could both still be in the Rumble. And knowing WWE, they could do... You know, they could just do D'Angelo and Dunn again, and then D'Angelo will win, and then that will be Pete Dunne's last match. Like,
cricket bat on a pole match.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Cricket bat versus crowbar.
Yeah.
Crowbar. Nope. Never mind. Moving on. And, you know, they could just run that match again and then have Dunn go up. Like, Ciampa's now got a dyed beard. He's taken all the gray out of his beard, which is typically a very Vince McMahon thing to want people to look younger. So, you know, and he's been having dark matches on the main roster. Both of them have, as well as LA Knight and Roderick Strong have been having dark matches as well. So, like, all of these guys look like they might be on their way potentially soon. Maybe it's after Mania. You know, maybe it's not as soon as the Rumble. It could be a post-Mania call-up kind of thing. But, so maybe we'll see him around in NXT for a little bit longer. In the meantime, at least they make the show better. They're good wrestlers. Their presence instantly makes the show better. And I think they'll lose a lot of star power if both of them do go, and especially if LA Knight and Roderick Strong go as well. That's four bigger names on the show. Granted, LA Knight hasn't been utilized all that well, I wouldn't say. And Roderick Strong, I think, is finding his feet as leader of Diamond Mine, but he's never been kind of like a top guy or anything.
No, so I've
could be worse.
I haven't given up on Diamond Mine, but I'm not like anticipating them be the top faction in NXT at this point. I think there was a chance to do that. There was a few weeks of really, really cool, engaging promo packages and everything where they were really treating it like, you know, like a sport, like they were a sports faction, you know, with these guys training. And I don't know. I think the Creed brothers have a lot of upside. I think that Ivy Nile has a lot of upside, but I think Roderick Strong probably has reached his peak in NXT. I can't really see him going any higher. So I don't know. I know we said a few weeks ago or a few months ago now that it felt like the old NXT stars were like an inconvenience for the new NXT 2.0 crew. I think we've largely gotten rid of most of them. You know what I mean? I feel like a good chunk of that problem is gone. And not a problem that I had. I would prefer seeing all the NXT 1.0 stars compared to the 2.0 stars, but that's just me. So with only like a small handful of them left, I think you can kind of work around it. And it's guys like Pete Dunne who've like re-signed recently. So maybe they feel a little bit more like, oh, he's not going to leave us in a month, so let's not book around him kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe they could come up with something really big for Pete Dunne. Maybe not. I'm just spitballing here. I'd like to see Pete Dunne as like a top guy, and I don't foresee him being a top guy on Raw. So if it's going to happen here, why not?
Yeah. And I mean, like I mentioned earlier, them being on NXT is still fine. They're still very good wrestlers. They're still enjoyable. I just don't know really what else they're going to do on NXT at this point. It feels like they could be better used elsewhere. I don't know. I'm not saying that they're going to be better used elsewhere, but it feels like they could be better used elsewhere. And like you mentioned that point about how NXT seeming like it's just like a fixed roster at this point.
Yeah.
It definitely feels like we're seeing the same people every week now, rather than the traditional NXT formula, which is kind of cycling people in and out. Might not see some people for 2-3 weeks, but you know, 1 week they'll have a promo video package, and the next week they'll have a match, and the week after that there'll be a backstage segment or whatever. You know, they're still there, but they're not wrestling every week. Whereas now it's starting to get to a point where we're seeing a lot of the wrestlers doing the same thing every week and having a lot of matches, and it's this guy's going to do a promo, this guy's going to have a match, and blah, 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 blah. It feels a bit more formulaic, which is a bit more main rostery than what I would prefer, but I know a lot of people enjoy that. So
I agree with you though, because I mean, I think it's a very underrated portion of why AEW is a pretty engaging TV show. And it's for that exact reason. You don't see Malakai Black wrestle every week.
Yeah.
You don't see Andrade wrestle every week. You don't see Bryan Danielson wrestle every week. You don't even see all these guys on TV every week.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't get tired of seeing most of the people on the roster. Them having a good roster helps. You can get tired
of Dan
Lambert and stuff. But you don't get tired of most of the roster because they're not shown to you often enough for you to get tired of them. And I think that's a bit of the problem with NXT these days, you know? But no, it's solid. Solid enough. This was a decent show, so I'm not fixing to hate it or anything.
No, it was better than usual, so can't complain too much.
Much better than usual. They had three good segments to open the show, and I was like, what am I watching? This is unprecedented. This is crazy.
Before we get into some of your old chats, I want to say a special thank you to Wine52, who are sponsoring this show today. Thank you so much, Wine52. You can get a crate of three wines in time for Valentine's Day if you click the link that's at the top of the description. It's like, we've been sponsored by Beer52 a whole bunch, and we've been singing their praises, but also this is for wine. It's great. Anyone who's watched any sort of like WrestleTalk After Dark or like any of the ones pre-Christmas, no, I love a bit of wine. <What's> happened, so the wine from my hamper a fair bit on the Christmas ones. So this is right on my alley. And you still got to pay the same postage of $5.95, UK viewers, and you can give them $1.52. This is great. It's your $5.95 postage, and you can choose red, you can choose white, mixed case, you can get whatever you want, whatever your taste is. It's great. $1.52. Go click the link. Try some new wine. It's all very good.
Wine 52. Do it.
Yeah. You know wine you should do it? Because it's wine 52. Just don't whine about it. On a roll today, mate. You look so impressed.
You're a liar.
Wine52.com/WrestleTalk. Click the link. Let's get some of your ultra chats.
Everybody get a little bit wine drunk. It's the perfect way to watch NXT.
Yeah.
Or in today's case, our predictions.
Which are coming up after this NXT stream. By the way, we're doing predictions for the Royal Rumble. After this NXT stream, is going to be at like 4:30 today, UK time. Stick around in this stream, because then you'll be automatically taken over to the prediction stream. So you don't even have to go anywhere. You can just stay here, and then watch the prediction straight after this, where I'm going to be I'm facing lukewarm Luke Owen for the Jam That Championship. I can get my baby back. And Tempest is going to be part of the Royal Jamble. We're going to be revealing everyone's numbers for the Royal Jamble. Tempest is going to win. I will win the Jam That Championship, and we're going to face each other at WrestleJamia, and it's going to be great. Can't wait.
See, that was the truth.
That was the truth. I'm not a liar.
All those things are going to happen.
Yep, absolutely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Let's get some of your ultra chats here. WrestleTalk.com/support. Send those in. We're going to be reading all the ones that are $5 by the time the show goes off the air. The Sheldon Show said, I feel in a blackmail situation with WWE. Like, I have to support Walter's name change to keep my favorite wrestler strong in the company's eyes. Hope last night is assigned the name is the only change, and his presentation as a 5-star ring general remains.
I don't believe them. I will not. It's like the end of, or it's actually like the beginning of Memento, where it's just like, bang, sure. Do not trust this man.
Mm-hmm.
That man is Vince. It's a picture of Vince. I don't know. It might be a while since everybody's seen Memento. He's actually talking about Vince. Do not trust this man. It's a picture of Vince. That is the story of my life. My life is Memento. I do not trust them to maintain the excellence that is Walter. No.
And I think one of the main things that, like we were talking about before, one of the things that makes Walter so engaging across a lot of the time is that he's not used very often. And when he does, he always has like a five-star classic match. Like, he's such a good wrestler that any match he has is amazing. And I'm worried with this whole set roster formula, they're doing a six-man tag next week, I'm worried that he's just going to get watered down and he's going to have very quick matches and it won't be a Walter-style match or a Gunther-style match at this point.
We're not doing that. For real, this will be the most often that I will have ever seen Walter.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
I want the shine of Walter to last forever and to illuminate the entire wrestling world. I do not want it to be extinguished.
Yeah. Luke Owen has chimed in on the Ultra Chat. Apparently, he has donated, this is a quote, loads of dollars, apparently. This says, well done on not... Dollar sign loads. Well done on not naming this video boobs with a thumbnail of boobs with the text boobs on it like Twitter wanted. You're better than everyone else.
It was the only thing Twitter could talk about yesterday.
Insane.
I mean, Raquel Gonzalez likes to show off her back a lot. That's like her thing. It's true. She's like, look at my back.
Yeah.
Like Ollie J probably has a much more impressive back, I gotta be honest.
Maybe.
A lot stronger back, anyway.
True. Bacon Rasher says, hi, lads. I stopped watching NXT last week and cancelled recordings. I just had enough. Are you telling me now that the show was actually okay this week? Also, what's the latest on the custody of the AEW Dynamite review? Think I got Ollie shook over this. LIW for life.
Yeah, you picked a bad week to quit. This week wasn't bad.
It was okay. It's still not a show I would watch.
You got to get out at some point. You can't look back on it and be like, oh, that one wasn't too bad. You just got to go. You got to get out, go, and not turn back.
Yeah.
You've done the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. You got to rip the Band-Aid and never come back. Mayor Painsville Dan says, hello, guys. Since this is day three of lonely COVID quarantine for me, sorry to hear that, Dan, I'm starting to get on people's nerves online. Therefore, here I am once again to remind everyone that Gunther does not have a TH in the name. The H is silent. Yes, it is technically Gunther, supposedly.
I'm not calling him that either way. So
yeah, no, he's Walter. So
I'm just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Because is it Gunther? Is it Gunther? Is it Gunter? No, I'm not doing it.
Gunther.
His name is Walter.
Walter. Much better.
Idiots.
I mean, a lot of the people on the show that we're talking about, and like Roddy Strong and Malcolm Irvin and stuff, were calling him Gunther, just straight up like anglicized version of the name. When he said it last week, I think he said Gunther with a TH. I don't even know. I think he said Gunther on this episode.
Yeah, he's also got one of them accents. You know, they hate those.
Mm, yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know what we never had a problem with? Figuring out how to say Walter or Walter.
I mean, well. You did just say, is it Walter or Volta?
Yes. But it doesn't matter. I guess this doesn't matter either, but still, I'm not calling him that. I don't care. I'm not calling him that.
The point is, Gunther is stupid.
Call him Bob.
Riot DR said, now I don't have a lot of experience with magical fireballs, but I guess the more you beat up the spellcaster, the faster you heal. Makes as much sense as anything else on the show. Also, what is it with the facial expression of Von Wagner? LIW for life. You know, I was really tempted to title this stream really over the top sarcastic, like, oh my god, Von Wagner has aligned with Robert Stone! But I got the feeling that people would think I was being legit, and I don't think it would come across in text form. So, I didn't. But I was very tempted.
You'd like, really throw off the Von Wagner.
Biggest news! Continue. Yeah.
The ones, oh my God. The 25 people that Von Wagner is really over with. You make them really upset.
Keith Lloyd said, I have two questions. One, what is Robert Stone's gimmick? And two, why is Mandy Rose, say a Tempest,
Just So Sexy. He didn't write just, but it's Just So Sexy.
Close enough. Also, can't wait to see the rise of LAW again this week. LAW 444 life. Thank you. We'll get into the rest of your Ultra Chats later. I don't know what Robert Stone's gimmick is. We'll talk about that more later, I suppose. And Mandy Rose is being desired by a load of other people now at this point. Great. We'll talk about that more later as well, because that was also on this show. Let's talk about it now. More Ultra Chats later. WrestleTalk.com/support. The show started with MSK going to touch the Dusty Cup and be like, no, don't touch it. Bad things happen when you touch the cup. And then they did the entrance and they faced Jacket Time. Sure.
This was strange. A little bit. You know? Yeah. Like, it was like when Triple H did the promo ahead of the first TakeOver Brooklyn. Where he's in the ring and he's just like, shh, guys, shh, shh. You gotta let me do this thing. It's gonna be really cool. And then you can cheer. And they never all the way shut up. You know, they never all the way be quiet. But like, they're doing a promo with no mics in front of the camera on the stage in front of all the people just before the lights come on, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like,
it's a bit weird, wasn't it?
What is to stop this crowd of people from being like, NXT, NXT.
A director. Exactly.
Strange. It's very strange.
I always love that Triple H promo. Take Brooklyn. We
started a movement. You made it a revolution,
etc. That one. It was a promo.
I'm kind of over the whole revolution promo. Have you heard it nonstop for the last 6 years in multiple places?
Yeah.
Just show me a wrestling show. Just start music. Go to the first match.
Yeah. MSK then faced Jacket Time in the Dusty Cup first round.
It's pretty solid.
And it was a pretty fun match. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Of course they pinned Kushida. You got an Ikemanjiro right there. But sure, pin Kushida, that's fine. But this was a fun match. MSK, okay. I then wrote, my next note was, MSK are very good wrestlers. Why don't they just let them be good wrestlers? Instead of being the weird comedy goofy balls that they are. I don't know.
About wrestling,
weird.
It's about characters. You gotta have a character.
You're right. This was a good match. Really enjoyed it. A lot of fun back and forth stuff. Ikemanjiro, I think, looked particularly good in this match. I haven't seen too much of him actually wrestle before, and I think he had some decent spots in this one. Good stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was a very fun way to open up the show. Got a lot of "This is awesome" chants at the end. I think that was a little bit strong. I cut this line from my edited review because I was like, that sounds a little bit more pointed than it should. But I was like, I feel like this would have been an acceptable main event on like AEW Dark, you know, where it's just like, it's real. It's fun. It's not like a 4.5-star match or anything. It's just what it needs to be.
Yeah, it was good. It's a first round Dusty Classic match. So,
yeah. You don't need it to be crazy, but I was just like, oh, this is awesome. I was like, is it? It's a little strong. Yeah. Maybe I'm just a curmudgeonly old man that doesn't want people to have fun. But
I think so.
The fact that we've gotten to the "This is awesome" chant for like a 3-star opening match is just like, I feel like, is a step backwards for wrestling.
You know,
and it doesn't matter at all. The sanctity. Yeah. This is awesome shit.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the "You Deserve It" chant. You need to preserve the sanctity of that chant.
Exactly. But yeah, this is a fun opener.
Yeah. My next note is, oh great, Zoe Stark's backstage with Io.
See, if you just ignore everything that doesn't happen in the ring, the show is fine.
Yeah.
It's all the ridiculous backstage gimmicks.
Yeah.
God, delete them all from the show, fast forward through it, and this show goes up a point every week.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, just do some more wrestling. It's fine.
Yeah.
Zoe Stark is disagreeing with Io Shirai. What else is new? Tiffany Stratton.
Why are they still hanging out? She doesn't like you.
Tempest. I don't know, Tempest. Tiffany Stratton says she's going to beat Io Shirai later. Cool.
And then she did. Not.
She sure did. Yep. MSK, we cut back to the ring. MSK is still celebrating. And then out come Legado del Fantasma. And then we cut to a Cameron Grimes promo. And then Carmelo Hayes arrives with Ollie J. And then we cut back to Legado del Fantasma in the ring. Please sort out your pacing, WWE. It's no not idea. Hard.
This happened more than once on this show.
Sure did.
But...
oh, man. It's rough. Legado del Fantasma cut a promo, or Santos Escobar specifically cuts a promo about Bron Breakker, saying that, you know, he's going to beat him or whatever. I'll be honest, I didn't really pay attention to what he was saying because I knew Bron.
I thought this was a good promo.
Yeah.
I thought this was a good promo. They talked, he talked about, all right, I wasn't going to say anything, but you said Cameron Grimes.
Did I actually?
One person in the chat picked it up and I was like, I'm going to let him know until someone else says it. But yeah,
Cameron William Grimes. Weagle.
Going to talk to William Weagle. But anywho, I thought this was like a really good little promo, you know. I don't like that they can't say the word hate. That has bothered me for like 10 years. But regardless, sure. I don't like you, Brian. In fact, I despise you. I was like, just say the thing. That's a bad word. You can't teach kids to say that hate is an okay thing to say. Just whatever. It was one of the reasons Batista quit in the first place. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. I thought this promo was really good. He talked about being from like similar lineages because they're both second generation. And he said that it sickens him that Bron Breakker got to NXT so quickly, that he's NXT champion so quickly. He's only had like a dozen matches and he's NXT champion. And he hates that. He hates that he got there before him. It felt to me, because again, your heels are supposed to believe what they're saying. I believed everything that Santos Escobar said. And I mean, he's a heel, so he's going about it the wrong way because, you know, he's like a mob boss with his little family that will take you out behind your back and all that. So he's going about it the wrong way. But I understand what he's feeling. And I don't think he's all the way wrong in how he's feeling. He's just going about it the wrong way. That, to me, is proper heel work. And then Bron Breakker came out and cut a decent babyface promo and told Santos Escobar to shut up in Spanish. And everyone went, whoa.
he spoke the foreign language.
He said, "Cállate."
Cállate. That was pretty good. I honestly much preferred Bron's promo to Santos. I don't know what it was about Santos. I think I liked the content of Santos's promo. I just don't think it was delivered super well. Mm. I don't know. Maybe I need to go back and watch it again. Maybe I was just tired or whatever. It's very possible. But yeah, when Bron came out, I was like, damn, he's actually got a pretty good like intensity. Like, yeah, like him telling Santos to shut up in Spanish was pretty good. And him just saying, just say the challenge and I'll fight you. Come on, let's fight. And Santos was like, yeah, we do it on my time. I'm like, okay, this is decent. And then Joaquin Wilde and Ryan Mendoza try to attack Bron and he fends them both off. This was decent.
If putting the title on their guy means that they will have a well-booked babyface champion, there you go.
Yeah.
It's one way to do it, but as long as it's done right, hell yeah. Like Bron Breakker coming out and telling him, Cállate, champ's talking. It's like, well, damn, that's champ.
It's good.
He's the top guy. You're gonna try and talk back to him right now? Big jacked up champion with a belt over his shoulder, buzz cut, son of a great like amateur wrestler, crazy strong guy. I was like, yeah, I wouldn't mess with Bron Breakker. That's what I want. I've always been behind Bron Breakker. Just want it to be done properly. Right now, I think the whole Bron Breakker Santos Escobar thing is very intriguing. I'm very much behind it.
I think Bron has really good baby face fire, which we don't see a lot.
Because
you often see the heel fire. You don't really often see the baby face fire. And when you do, it's often accompanied with some pretty like bad lines that are written for them. But this I thought was very good. Played up Bron's strength very well.
Mm-hmm.
We then had a video package for Boa and Solo Sikoa. And then they had a match, which was a false count anywhere, no DQ match. It was okay. I thought it was fine. It was all right.
He didn't have spooky Boa garbage. And as long as you don't have the spooky garbage, I can handle Boa being on my TV if he's not doing stupid Boa things.
Yeah. Both of them had face paint on in this one.
It's allowed. Right. I like Jeff Hardy. I like Finn Balor.
And they kind of went back and forth a bit. There was a few weapon shots to start with, a few chairs and stuff like that. They went to the back and were doing this whole thing against like a grate, like a metal grate.
Garage door.
Yeah, sure. One of those.
One of the ones where you gotta pull the chain to get the thing to go up.
Yeah, and then he pulled it, and then I like that you did not see the fire extinguisher, so it looked like Solo Sokoa just kind of like misted him with something.
You know what my favorite bit of all this was? Because I don't know why. I had like one moment of, I'm going to really psychoanalyze a line from commentary.
Sure.
Where I just decided, you know what? No, that doesn't make sense. It's where they were like hitting the garage door with a ladder because he was like trying to impale him with this ladder.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vic Joseph says like they've beaten that garage door beyond recognition. And I love the idea of him sitting there and they're like, bang, hit the garage door. He's like, bang, hit the garage door. Bang, hit the garage door. What the hell is that? What? That's not a garage door. What is? I have no idea what that is. I've never seen that before in my life. What? Wade, what is that? What is that? What?
It doesn't make any sense.
It's like, I will never be able to recognize that thing again.
No, it's just, I just have no idea. Some sort of metal contraption, you know? Yeah. Who knows?
What did he say? A mechanical mechanism, I think, is what Vader used to call his little head thingy.
Yeah. God, terrible. I thought this was decent. I thought I quite liked the finishing spot of Solo Sokoa doing a splash to the outside through a table. That's a fun little spot like that.
Had good camera work for once.
Huh?
That spot had good camera work for once. Sure, they shot it from below. Had him crash through. I'll give them props when they get something right.
Yeah. Probably a nitpick on my part. Something I didn't really like. They had three chairs set up in three corners of the ring, like wedged in between the ropes.
Right, yeah.
And Solo went through and smashed Boa's face off the three chairs, one after the other. And then Boa got straight up and like dropped him off the top rope. I was like, I feel like you should have sold that a bit more. Like, it's three chairs to the face, you know? Like, that's like an ending spot. You know,
mm-hmm.
And he took three of them straight back to back to back, and then was just like, and throw you off top right. Okay, that is a nitpick though.
Yeah, I thought this match was like fine. I hope it's a blow off. I hope we're done here. If Bola attacks Solo Sokoa next week, I will walk off the show.
Yeah.
But regardless, for what it was, I thought it was very good. Also, this is unrelated. I don't know if this is accurate. I feel like this mask, like, not pinches, but applies pressure here, because it's only when I wear this mask for these shows my nose just starts running. And I don't know why.
I think it must be.
Like, it's only because I will talk to you off recording for how long. I'll be in the meetings. I'll be totally fine. Soon as we get like 10-15 minutes into this, I'm just like, what is happening?
Yep.
It's become a pattern. I would like to get to the bottom of it.
I think the solution, Tempest, is you got to take the mask off.
It's not happening, Pete.
Okay, fair enough. Well, after that, we then got an Imperium promo. He's still called Gunther. That's still his name. He gave a justification for the name change in this one, saying that he needs to stand on his own two feet. Like, he was given his name from his grandfather, who he respects massively, but now he needs to carve his own path and he needs to stand on his own two feet with his own identity. He's called Gunther.
As an explanation,
mm-hmm.
that's better than the no explanation we usually get.
Yep.
I still would not have done this.
No. Not at all. I will say,
the low levels of effort that have been put in.
Yeah. And I will say, from last week when we were kind of freaking out about the whole Gunther Stark thing, him not being called Gunther Stark, thumbs up. It's just Gunther. That is better. Yeah. Still not good, but it is better than Gunther Stark. Now it is literally just, at this point, a name change.
Yeah.
Which is pointless. Why'd you change the name? But it's nowhere near as bad as it could have been. So that's good, at least.
Agreed.
Then had Duke Hudson versus Guru Raj in a squash match. Duke Hudson won. Speaking of weird babyface fire that has a really cringe line in it, Dante Chen then came out and said, "I'm going to show you the respect that you didn't give me last week by letting you know, here I come," and then ran down to the ring. I was like, That's all right. Needs some
work. Needs some work, but I feel like anytime I see something that I don't like on this show from a young guy, I'd be like, that's developmental.
That's the get out of jail free card right there.
Yeah, it's like supposedly it's developmental, but it's like it's fine. I like that they put the focus back on him. You know, I like the thing because we watched last week's show and Dante Chen, I was just like, wow, look at that promo package. He talks about wanting to wrestle for his recently deceased father. That's like really emotional, really powerful, really moving. I really like that. And then he like there was a DQ in his match in a minute because of Duke Hudson. I was like, well, that was stupid. At least now it's not like, because how many times would we see that? And then all of the focus would be shifted to Duke Hudson.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. Yeah. I like that they put the focus back on Dante Chen. I'm looking for the positives this week. I like Dante Chen's character. So I'm glad to see that he's not just going to be forgotten.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully he gets to do some good stuff. Fingers crossed, because I quite like him. We then had Indi Hartwell and Persia Prada and Kaylee Ray doing a backstage promo. They said nothing. They said, we're going to win, basically. Again, nitpick, but it's something I noticed on the show. I hate when you have a group of people, they finish a backstage promo, and they walk off in separate directions. It's like, where are you going?
Yeah.
You're a diva.
No, my favorite one of those ever was it was like DX in 2006, where they finish their promos, they go off in separate direction, then you see Triple H just go and run back across the screen.
They had that with Austin Theory, I think,
that's
in a way.
It's fun, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But when you do it legit, it's like, why have you done that? Anyway, Toxic Attraction then came out to face Indi, Persia, and Kaylee Ray, but also we then had Legado del Fantasma promo first, where Santos was saying that he has to face Joaquin Wild and Raul Mendoza 2-on-1. Unless he can find a friend. Does he have a friend? He doesn't have a friend. He's all alone. He doesn't have friends. Friends? That's not what he has.
This is why you don't team with three heels at War Games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Then we had the actual match of Toxic Attraction versus Indi Hartwell, Persia Prada, and Kaylee Ray. I like that the ring announcer only introduced Kaylee Ray and not Indi and Persia. Sure, whatever.
The people that won.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it, the people that won the match didn't get introduced.
Yep.
Backwards.
That's fine. My next note for this is, of course they pinned the champions. Why not? Sure, they don't have a women's tag division, so who cares?
This was fine. Doing a women's Dusty Cup right now.
Yep.
Just have them win the Dusty Cup. You get your shot. Yep. Easy. Yep. Why are you beating the champions? Oh, my Lord. So, in storyline, Toxic Attraction just suck. They have all the belts, but they suck. They can't win matches, you know, without excessive tomfoolery involved in shenaniganery. I dislike this idea. This is difficult. Because again, it's developmental, so I want to cut people some slack. I feel like some of these matches are a little too long for someone like JC Jane.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I do think that having her involved in six women tag team matches is the best way for her to improve, for sure. But these are the kind of shows that, you know, should be house shows.
Mm-hmm.
Helping people get over a more natural setting. As opposed to trying to learn on the fly doing TV.
It's great for a developmental promotion that's not a TV show every week. You know, like actual developmental, how it should be. Like a developmental show that's not a weekly TV show. Yeah. Why are we watching developmental?
I thought the match was like fine.
The match was fine.
It was fine. I wasn't like appalled. I wasn't blown away. Kaylee Ray chased Mandy Rose to the back with her bat, and then Persia Prada won with her, I don't even know what the move is called, but it's like a, she's got the fireman's carry, and then she twists with it. You know, it's kind of like an F5, but not as impressive.
Yes, an F5, you know? But not as impressive. I agree. Yeah.
She twists them the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Pushes the legs off as opposed to pushing. I guess that is still how Brock Lesnar does it, but does it the other way.
Yes.
Yeah. Drops them like between her legs sitting down.
Yeah, it's like a sit out F5.
Yeah. How do you make a sit out F5 look not impressive?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's whatever.
Again, Idris Enofe.
Worrying about this.
Yeah. Match. Idris Enofe and Malik Blade had a promo. Idris Enofe wants to ask out Mandy Rose. Do you know why, Tempest?
She's got ambition.
Come on, Tempest. Say the thing.
She's just so sexy, Pete.
Yeah, she is. Sure. They've been given a bit of character now.
I like them.
Yeah.
I like both of them. I watch them and I want them to succeed. I don't know why.
Sure.
Maybe just because they're young dudes that I think appear to be talented and have potential, but I don't know. I see them. I don't know who are they facing in like the are they facing the Creed brothers or something in the semifinals? Or are they facing MSK?
They're facing MSK. Yeah.
All right. I want them to have like a 25-minute match and have it be really good in the main event and lose, but get the rub from a really great match. If they did that, I'd be very, very happy.
I wouldn't be surprised if they. No, I was going to say if they win, but I think they're telling the story of MSK too much.
Yeah.
I was thinking that the stare off they had with Legado del Fantasma might mean that LDF might interfere, cost MSK, and have NFA and Malik Blade get another shock victory, you know? But I don't know. We then had Grizzled Young Veterans come out for their match. Earlier today, here's Raquel Gonzalez. Whiplash.
Those two things are related.
Yeah. Cora Jade still wants to tag with Raquel. Oh. And Raquel was like, no.
Why do you want to?
But we can win stuff. And then she's like, please leave me alone. And she's like, but Raquel, let me prove it to you. And she's like, piss off, please. So I'm assuming they're going to tag together soon. They're facing each other next week. But I'm assuming they're going to tag together after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so unbelievable. You know? I don't believe that Raquel Gonzalez, the character she is right now, would end up teaming with Cora Jade in 2 weeks. I don't believe her stance would be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Cora Jade like saves her life or something.
She'll get persuaded
next out
week.
Of the way of a moving car.
Yeah.
Save her life. Give her a debt of gratitude.
Mandy Rose turned up in a little helicopter for New Year's Evil, right? So maybe she's going to get, you know, cut up by the helicopter blades from Mandy Rose, and Cora Jade is like, no, I'll protect you. And then she does. See? All makes sense.
There you go. Yeah. You know, like Cora Jade just looks like such a geek in these segments.
A little bit.
You don't want to be the baby face that no one wants to be your friend.
Tell me about it.
How's that worked out for Zoe Stark? We don't like that character either. It's the same character. It's a loser baby face trying to get the cool person to hang out with them.
Yeah.
That would be fine if I wasn't supposed to cheer the loser. You know? You know, like you can have the geek. It's like you're supposed to cheer Hornswoggle a certain way when he's trying to be in DX.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not expecting Hornswoggle to challenge for the top championship. Cora Jade was challenging for the top championship like 2 weeks ago. There's a difference.
It was. Grizzled Young Veterans then faced off against Andre Chase and Bodie Haywood.
Someone watched Point Break when they were naming people.
I said in this match, Andre Chase doing the stumps and calling out the give me a C. And then he stomps as everyone goes, C, give me an H. H as he does the stump. I could see that getting over. It's a little like cool little chant or whatever. But then I wrote, what the F are these splashes from Bodie Haywood?
Right?
Oh, what was that? These
gym class spots.
Ooh, it wasn't good.
Ooh,
he looked
I called them burpees. What? I don't even remember what he was doing. It's like as soon as I stopped watching it, I forgot the actual most of what he was doing.
He was just sprinting on the stop.
Sprinting, drop down, get up, splash. kind of thing.
He didn't even do the drop down. He just sprinted on the spot and then just splash. And then he got up and then sprinted on the spot and the crowd went, oh, because they're directed, you see. And then he did a little splash and then got up again and kept sprinting on the spot and looked really happy doing it as well. And then did
he's
a
on
splash.
TV. This is his first match on TV. Sure. He'd be happy. Yeah. But sure. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really, there wasn't much to get into with this tag match. It was pretty quick. Nah. You know, the Grizzled Young Vets won. That's a plus. That's a big plus.
Double code breaker.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. For honestly, I saw that and I was like, oh, that's not their usual finish. And then for the light, I sat there and just went like, I have no memory of what the Ticket to Mayhem looks like. Like, I just went, I don't remember. I don't remember what this move looks like.
It's normally a code breaker, but it's the throw up into it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I know that I'd seen it, but it was just my brain went blank. You know, I may have may as well never have seen that move before.
Yeah.
Also, what's his face? Andre Chase had like the most pitiful Dusty Rhodes tribute spot ever. You know?
Yep. Sure.
Where he was like, bam, 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 oh, bam. You know, Cody doesn't like every match.
Mm.
Cody does it a lot better than Andre Chase did it here. Well, like I saw it and I went, oh, I would be offended.
Yeah. But then don't worry, the story's not over there, guys, because it's time for the return of Von Wagner. I know everyone was really keen about this. Everyone was on the edge of their seats thinking, where's Von Wagner? Don't worry, he's back. He beat up Andre Chase University afterwards. And then Robert Stone got in the ring and gave him a jacket, and then he put on a jacket, and the commentator was like, oh my god, Von Wagner has joined Robert Stone. The earth will never be the same again.
He joined jacket time. That's what this was actually about.
Tempest, it's a jacket. He's got a jacket on now. Oh my god. What's going to happen next?
Does that mean Naomi can't touch him either? There's so many jacket and jacket related storylines.
Yeah. We even had three. One. Jesus Christ.
You have three things about jackets. Sort of. I don't think this one's actually going to be about jackets. But there's been
it felt like it was.
There's been three segments at least related to jackets in 1 week. I feel like I'm losing my mind. Oh my god.
Good god.
I don't know. Von Wagner might be approaching Boa territory in terms of I do not give a shit levels.
I could not care less about this man. They have actively made him less interesting by putting him with Robert Stone.
Yeah.
Like, God.
He started at his peak of entering that four-way for the world title, and he has gotten less interesting every week.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Hey, man. He debuted on SmackDown that 1 week.
Oh, he was a ghost. He was a vision. He was an apparition. Only Sami Zayn could see him.
Yep.
Sami Zayn's going to come back to NXT, see Von Wagner, and be like, oh, you again. I think you're real.
Grayson Waller did a promo. Cool. And then we had Io Shirai versus Tiffany Stratton. They played the 2K22 trailer. Sure looks like a 2K game. And then Shirai won the match after Tiffany Stratton took the majority of the offense for some reason.
Interesting. Yeah.
Sure.
Man, I could do without her screaming about daddy all the time, you know. Like I don't want to rant like it. Yeah, some people like that. Not me. Some people.
Not me.
Not me. But you know, like I don't want to rant every week about them having to have their stupid little caricatures. Damn it, carrot catchers. The caricatures.
Carrot catches. Yep.
Yeah. But I mean, good lord. I do not need to see this cartoon wrestling show where the sleeping girl is talking with the daddy's girl. Because
It
is fake. It's a fake show with fake people. I don't believe anything that I see on this show. Sometimes you can steer close enough into reality, like with the Santos Escobar Braun Breaker thing, where they're like, oh, we're both second generation wrestlers. And I was like, well, that's true. All right, so you've gotten me to believe you so far. But then I also get stuff like this, where I'm just like, why am I watching this person again? here's an example where she goes up at the beginning of the show and she's like, "Ugh, you get this off the discount rack," to Zoe Stark or whatever, talking about how terrible her outfit was.
Sure.
It's like, we're in a props department. None of this is yours. If imagine, take me back 2 years ago, Rob Gronkowski signs with WWE. If he comes in as a heel, having been like a four-time Super Bowl champion or whatever he was at the time, multi-million dollar guy, he could come in wearing whatever he wants. If he walked up to Kona Reeves and was just like, I'd be like, I believe it.
Yeah.
He's real. He's a real guy. I don't believe that anything about Tiffany Stratton is real.
Fair.
I also don't think that you should be beating new characters on their second match.
Fair. It's also Io Shirai, so...
Just don't beat the match. Just never beat people. Mr. Perfect beat a lot of people before he came up against Hulk Hogan. You know? You don't have to go straight to it and have him lose.
Diamond Mine did a promo. They want a six-man tag next week. Creed Brothers have some decent intensity on their promo. Roderick Strong should have a mouthpiece. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
He always should have, you know? Like, I love Roddy, but that's never been his strongest suit.
Not at all, no. Then we got Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. They had a musical performance from Ollie J. It was not good.
Not. I prefer this sort of thing to like a poppy performance. That's just personal taste. I would rather not see either of them on my wrestling show, you know? But I mean, if I gotta listen to screamo or rap, I'm choosing rap.
Yeah.
I like that it worked in the promo package.
I was just about to criticize that because I didn't like that. They spliced in the little bits of Tony D'Angelo and Cameron Grimes hyping up the main event. And for me, it just didn't fit at all. It was just like, she's doing a performance. Cameron Grimes. What? And it's her just doing some more rap. And then you just see Tony D'Angelo going, "Hey!" It's like, what? What's going on?
I prefer this over just a performance. At least they tried to work it into the show itself. Like, if there's a little bit of effort there, I can give them some credit. Mm-hmm. But they did this at like TakeOver New Orleans or something like that too, where they did a live performance for the opening video package. Yes. You know?
It's pretty That's cool. fine. I don't mind like the opening to a big show having a musical performance to be like, this is the introduction. Here's the video package. Here's the theme song for the thing. Having it before the main event is just like weird to me. We had that musical performance. Then Tony D'Angelo does a promo. Then Tiffany Stratton does a promo with Wendy Chu. I don't care. And then we got the main event of Cameron Grimes versus Tony D'Angelo with the return of Pete Dunne with a cricket bat who cost Tony D'Angelo.
Why does he have a cricket bat?
Because he's English.
Do y'all just carry those everywhere?
I don't. Who cares? Just whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. It's dumb.
It is Pete Dunne.
I thought he was Pete Dunne with NXT.
Ah, there it is. Now we're on it. Cameron Grimes won thanks to that. He was going back and forth with Tony D'Angelo a bit. I thought the match was fine. I thought it was decent. Till the end, I would rather Cameron Grimes just won, personally. But, you know. He won. Cameron Grimes, number one contender.
Cool. Yeah. It's cool. God, you're right, Ace Shock. If I was a character in NXT, I would carry a hockey stick everywhere. That would be the thing. Yeah, I mean... I thought the main event was, like, fine. It was, like, solid. Yeah. 3 out of 5 main events, which is decent enough. Had the right person win. I'm excited for the direction of Cameron Grimes and Carmelo Hayes. I think that should be a good match. I'm at least fine with the idea of Pete Dunne and Tony D'Angelo having one more match. That's all right, I suppose. Overall, I thought it was a pretty fine episode of NXT. When, like, there were a few backstage segments where I saw them and went, like, this is really stupid. I don't like this. But they were mostly quick. And otherwise, we got a lot of decent to good wrestling, a decent to good promo, a couple matches that I could do without. But overall, I think this is like a low four.
I thought there was sure.
Like maybe a high three for the show, but like
I'd have given it a three. I don't think I liked some stuff as much as you did, but this was the decent show.
It didn't piss me off for once. Mm. Like I watched the whole show without getting pissed off, and that was like, all right, that's a 4 out of 5.
That's fair.
Give me that every week. If I could have this every week, just a competently booked wrestling show, I'd take it.
It didn't piss me off. It also didn't make me that excited. Which
that
is like...
was the other thing. I had no idea what to say in my editor review because the show was very unremarkable.
Yeah.
I would just prefer unremarkable but fairly logical to the Gunther reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you believe if that was last week? It's been 1 week since
Gunther.
It feels
like it was a year ago.
Ridiculous. So before we get into the rest of your Ultra Chats, one more time, I want to say thank you to Wine52 for sponsoring this stream. Thank you so much, Wine52. Go click the link, wine52.com/WrestleTalk. You can get a free crate of 3 wine bottles just for the postage of $5.95, UK viewers only. Go get it. Wine's good. Wine's a good drink. Go drink it. Wine52, do the thing.
Wine's good. Go drink it.
Wine is good. Go drink it, but also drink responsibly. But you get the wines from different region or country each time. So that's nice. And then you can choose what ones you want, whether it's like red or white or mixed or whatever. So you go do the thing. Wine52.com/WrestleTalk. Also, Tempest, before we do get into the final lot of these Ultra Chats here, after this stream, we will be doing the Royal Rumble predictions, where it's going to be me versus Luke for the championship. You're going to be entering the Royal Jamble. I've seen that there's been a bunch of people that have been hyping up their Jamble entries. People have been declaring all over social media. One of those people who we're going to be seeing in the stream later, Social Media Abby, has declared for the Rumble.
What?
Social Media Abby, are the rumors true? Are you going to be in this year's Royal Jamble?
I don't know how you heard this, but yes, the rumors are true. I've been behind the scenes for far too long. It's time for me to make my main roster debut. I will win the Royal Jamble, I will go on to WrestleJamia, and I will become the first ever female Jam That Champion. I will see the other losers at predictions. Now get out of my face, I've got work to do.
That's some strong words from Social Media Abby right there.
Very strong words.
Mm.
Staying out of her way.
You think?
Huh. I don't know. I don't want to say anything. I have an idea for his prediction stream. I could do it.
All right. But we'll see Abby and Tempest and me and Luke and a bunch of other people. Oh my God, so many people on the prediction stream straight after this one. But first, we need to get into the rest of your Ultra Chats. $5 and up, send those in at wrestletalk.com/support. Last chance to do so. Ben Grimshaw said, hi, would either of you sign for NXT as a wrestler if they offered you a contract? No.
I mean, depends on who I am. If I'm like, although, no, I don't think I would. I don't think there's a scenario. Maybe if I was like broke. If the options were working for NXT or starving, I would probably pick NXT. But if I'm a new wrestler and I want to train and learn, I would not go to NXT because I don't think they train people very well.
No.
If I'm at all an established talent, I don't want to go to NXT. My goals and my views of life and everything do not align with working for NXT as a wrestler.
I agree. Also, I'm not a wrestler, so no. Jared Hazelwood said, not NXT related, but I wanted to know Tempest's thoughts on this. Haku versus Minoru Suzuki, who goes over?
Oh, in real life? In real life, Haku. I'm never betting against Haku. Haku is the most terrifying man that's ever existed in wrestling.
So apparently these next Ultra Chats have just been renamed to Yu-Gi-Oh! Chats.
Hell yeah.
Blind
Raw influence
says,
spreads.
Blind Raw says, since I haven't watched 2.0 and this was a lot less offensive episode from last week, let's talk about something else. Tempest, are you playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel? What's your deck looking like?
I am not playing Master Duel. I played for about 15 minutes. It wasn't really for me because I played one match online with someone who like XYZ summoned or Pendulum summoned or something. I don't understand how it works. Again, I played like one card, set one thing set face down. I had to go first, of course, because I lost the rock, paper, scissors deal. And I was like, okay, there's my turn. And then the next person just went like, and then I do this, and then I do this, and then I activate this with the special effect of this, and that allows me to summon this. And I was like, I'm lost. This game isn't for me anymore. So I've heard there's like a story mode, like a single player campaign type deal where you can go through and just play. I might look into trying to do that, but overall, I'm not really into it.
The Jedi Muffin says, oh boy, the Jambler's almost here. I wonder how strong Khali's going to be with in his chops during this year's Rumble. Also, who's moreover? Cameron Grimes's To the Moon or Yugi telling his giant soldier of stone to attack the moon?
Attack the moon. That's my band name. Attack the moon.
Attack the moon. Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
It was, I forget. I was having a conversation with the lady partner recently, and that came up. Something about dolphins. It was like my band name was like the Disingenuous Dolphins or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like that.
Amazing. I think that is going to do it for the Ultra Chats for this stream. So that's going to do it for the stream as a whole. The prediction stream will be kicking off in about 25 minutes from now, but stay here in this very stream and you'll be directed straight over to that one when it starts. So you don't even have to go anywhere. You don't even have to lift a finger.
Leave the window open. We'll be right back.
It's cold out though, so don't leave that window open, but the window on your browser, leave that one open.
Thanks for that clarification, Pete.
I am on the ball today. Thank you everyone for watching this episode of the NXT podcast. Subscribe, more videos, etc. Thank you so much to Wine52 once more. Wine52.com/WrestleTalk. Go click that link and get yourself a free crate of wine. I have got a fun little email here from Misha talking about that episode of SmackDown where Sonya Deville's jacket was super powerful and, you know, if she took it off, then suddenly she was powerless to stop Naomi attacking her, right?
Supposedly. I've yet to see that half of the equation come into play.
Yeah, I know. So what Misha's done here is turned the jacket into a magic item that one could use in a certain role-playing game, known as Dungeons & Dragons. So, Corporate Jacket is the name of it. And says, wondrous item, rare, requires achievement. This is a lesser version of the CEO's jacket, an artifact possessed by the arch-lich Vince McMahon, and rumored to be his phylactery. Oh yeah, now we're getting into real D&D terminology. This is great. different versions of this item exist at varying levels of power. While wearing this jacket, any wrestler who attacks you must make a save against being fired, and you make booking decisions with advantage. You can use the command spell at will, charisma save to resist. Characters who are over have advantage on this roll. While attuned to this item, your alignment becomes lawful evil. These powers do not work against anyone wearing a more powerful jacket than yours. I love it. Thanks, Misha.
I tell you, if anything's going to get me into D&D, it's going to be listening to stuff like that.
Hell yeah.
You know?
That's good.
Because I'm just like, I feel like I understood about 75% of it, which is more than I normally do when you talk about D&D.
Yeah, man. And he just says, stay safe, lads. And middle fingers to the haters. You're a pair of bona fide legends. LIW444 life. Thank you, Misha. Appreciate it. Just very quickly, because you mentioned D&D. That's the go word for me. I finished my campaign on Sunday, Tempest.
Yes, you did.
I finished D&D. It.
You mentioned D&D.
Yeah.
Full email full of D&D.
Misha mentioned D&D. Misha didn't... Actually, Misha didn't actually mention D&D.
You just said D&D.
It's a magic item. I mentioned D&D.
Go on. Talk about your emotional journey. with a music accompaniment.
Oh man, it went really well. Like the fight, the final boss fight was the hardest fight they've had, which is how it should be. Final boss fight was great. It was so stressful. One character died and then was brought back to life. Good stuff. Yeah, that was stressful for them.
Real Marvel writing there. Yeah. Mm,
yeah. Hey man, they get a spell called Revivify. They have to cast it within a minute of the person dying. If it goes longer than a minute, then that spell can't bring them back. But within a minute, boom, can get them back. Which they managed to do, which was good. And yeah, they killed the big bad and everybody was happy. But then we had basically 2 months of like downtime, basically, to be like, what is your character doing in the 2 months now? Now that there's basically essentially peace, for ease of words, what does your character do in 2 months? So we went around and everyone was saying what they were doing. Oh, I'd go to this place. I'd start looking into this thing, etc. And one of the characters who plays like an elderly, like torsal guy, he said, yeah, you know, I'd go back and you know, I tell stories if the adventures I've been on and stuff like that. And I tell stories of the other people that are in the adventure party and stuff like that. After about a month and a half, he'd just die peacefully in his sleep. And we were all like, what? Bearing in mind that this was the character that died in the final fight and was brought back to life. And then he was like, yeah, he was just, you know, just from old age, he was just passed peacefully. And all of us were like, oh, no, what? And me very quickly changing my final cinematic speech that I'd written, because he was still alive in that one. So me very quickly off inside being like, change that 5 to a 4, change this, change that around. Yeah, no, it was really good. And then, yeah, did the final ending bit. And a few of us got a bit teary afterwards. And it was really lovely. It was a very good time. I love D&D. This was great. I'm happy.
You can hardly tell. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah. And the day after, I legitimately felt a bit like down. I was like, ugh, I feel like a bit off today. And I was like, I think it's because D&D ended. Legitimately mourning a bit like D&D upset.
D&D, yeah.
Yeah.
Legit. Mourning it. Mourning your campaign.
Mourning it. Oh, it's good. Anyway, got another email here, Tempest, from Katie that says, hi, LOW. Talking about speedruns, because we've been talking about that a little bit lately. Said, I used to think watching or attempting speedruns was not for me. I couldn't understand the appeal of exploiting glitches and split-second frames to beat a game in minutes. However, Tempest's revelation that putt-putt speedruns exist had turned into a YouTube rabbit hole, reliving the fever dream that was early 90s games for me. My question to you both is, what other random/unusual kinds of speedruns are out there that you would recommend? LIW444 Life, Katie. Thanks, Katie.
I have a hell of an answer.
Go for it.
Because once again, all of my speedrunning consumption comes from Small Ant. At one point he was, I don't think he is currently, but he was the world record speedrun holder for sharpening pencils.
Yes, I've seen that video. That was a great video.
He like worked at it for like a month or something like that, so that he could sure have the world record. You have to sharpen 10 pencils without a drill, because people would just put them on the end of a drill and put them in a pencil sharpener and let them go. You gotta spin them. You gotta hold the pencil sharpener between your legs. You gotta go for it. I think someone's beaten him since then, but at one point it's speedrunning. Everybody's beating everybody, you know. At one point, he was the world champion, and it's pretty interesting to see just someone just being like, I need to go faster, you know, trying to figure out how to sharpen pencils fast. So yeah. there's my recommendation.
Getting like calluses on the fingers from just like sharpening pencils too much. It's nuts.
He do so many runs per day because like his hands would get blistery and sometimes he'd bleed. I'd be like, all right, well, that's me done for the day. I was like, you only did it twice. You'll never be the champion this way. He got there.
One for me would be a video I watched recently from Jaden Animations about speedrunning Cooking Mama 2. It was good. It was a good video.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. It's good fun. I really like that. And one run that I've actually been watching again recently, because I just think it's really good, it's a Super Mario Odyssey speedrun. But it's what's called Torkatoo%. Which is the bird in Super Mario Odyssey that gives you hints as to where the moons are. It gives you the names of three of the moons. So you have to go up to Torkatoo. It gives you the names of the three moons, and those are the only moons you can get aside from like the story based moon. So it's basically like a sort of like a randomizer to a degree. So you have to know like all the different moons and where they're at and the fastest way to get to them and stuff like that. It's genuinely really, really fun. It was a guy that did that at SGDQ last year, I think. So I'd recommend that as well.
There Mario you go. Odyssey, nipple percent. You play until you see Mario with just his nipples.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, bus percent, which is play the game until you get, I think it's to Philadelphia, the level, and get hit by a bus. that's the run.
Hell yeah.
It's great. Anyway, that is going to do it. This episode of the Breast Talk Podcast, kind of a short day because we started a little bit late because technical issues. But we're going to be back. We've got predictions right after this. So stay tuned, for the predictions for the Royal Jamble. We're going to have a load more content. We've got Royal Jamble live reactions this weekend. I will be reclaiming my Jam That Championship, and Tempest will be the number one contender to that championship for WrestleJamia. It's going to be a great time. So subscribe to Rest Talk Podcast YouTube channel for the live reactions. Stay tuned for more podcast content. We love you very much. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.